Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good to have you with us here for another Read the Word. And as all of you can tell, we're on our way home from the Victory Campaign with Brother Copeland here in Fargo. It's a pretty awesome set of meetings. If you were not able to be a part of it, I encourage you to go on Facebook or YouTube and catch up with it there, because it was absolutely amazing group of meetings all the way through. First time I've ever actually been live at a Victory Campaign and sat in a seat for that many hours in a row. They're not joking you when they say Brother Copeland knows how to talk for a long time. But I'm telling you, the farther it goes, the greater the anointing gets. And it was a wonderful time. We've got links on our Facebook page, on my Facebook page, on the Facebook page for Community of Faith. And I encourage you to study it. Don't just watch it. Study it. And if you need healing in your body, this is such an amazing thing that happened yesterday. If you need healing in your body, yesterday morning, before the program started, a lady that had been sitting in our section where I was the usher had a baby. And Leanne went and said, you know, what's going on here and what are you here for? And just talking to her. And she said, my baby's father told the baby to shut the F up. And the baby hasn't spoken a word. I forget. Did she say how long?
In over a year.
In over a year, the baby hasn't said a word. She said, I want my baby to talk and I want that curse broken. So we prayed for this baby right there on the spot immediately. And cute little guy. His name is Elijah, right? His name is Elijah. So I just spoke the word of the Lord. Your name is Elijah, and Elijah is a prophet that speaks. You will speak. And the service started, and they taught about healing. And at the end of the teaching, Brother Copeland led a prayer that was for everybody. You know, everybody made the same prayer. What's corporate prayer? That's the word I'm looking for. And she was one of the first people in line. Because when he prayed, all of that lady's faith, our faith, Brother Copeland's faith, all came together. And the first word he said was, Mama. It was amazing. It was amazing to see. We saw a miracle right in front of our own eyes. And you'll see that on the Saturday morning healing meeting. Now, I'm taking a little time here, but I want, some of you might say, Pastor, that's a long time. If you look at the length of the time, you miss the importance of the word. You can't get healed unless the word takes root in your heart. You're not going to get saved unless the word takes root in your heart. And taking this time right now on purpose, I want to encourage you, to challenge you. Some of you men to step out and trust God. I mean, I'm being serious about this, because his word cannot fail. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed them, the ones he was supposed to. There's no place in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus teaches us what to do when a healing prayer doesn't work. No place. Because his prayers worked. And I just encourage you to go and be a part of that in Jesus' mighty name. Today's communion, make sure you got your communion elements ready. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are right here on the road back to, on the road guess that's what we should say, sitting in the seat of the car, but doing the work you give us to do. And right now, as we do this, read the word in the lives of every person that's with us today, Jesus. Bless them with the ability to see and know and hear and understand your wonderful, wonderful ways. In the mighty name of Jesus, open up this word today. Open it up to every one of us. We receive from you now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. Our scripture today is 1 Kings chapter 7 and 2 Chronicles chapter 4. So today we're going to study Solomon building the temple, and then we'll receive communion. Here we go. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse number 1. Check this out. Solomon took 13 years to build his own house. Wow. That's 3,650 days is 10 years. That's a long time. And it says, so he finished all his house. He also built the house of the forest of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits. Let's get the square footage. Its width was 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits, with four rows of cedar pillars and cedar beams on the pillars. And it was paneled with cedar above the beams that were on 45 pillars, 15 to a row. My, my, my. What a house. There were windows with beveled frames in three rows, and window was opposite window in three tiers. All the doorways and doorposts had rectangular frames, and window was opposite window in three tiers. He also made the hall of pillars. Its length was 50 cubits, and its width 30 cubits, and a cubit is 3 feet. So it's 150 feet long and 90 feet wide. In front of them was a portico with pillars, and a canopy was in front of them. He made a hall for the throne, the hall of judgment, where he met, where he might judge. And it was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. And you imagine the aroma of all that cedar. And the house where he dwelt had another court inside the hall of like workmanship. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken as wife. All of these were of costly stones, cut the size, trimmed with saws inside and out, from the foundation to the eaves, and also on the outside to the great court. The foundation was of costly stones, large stones, some 10 cubits and some 8 cubits. And above were costly stones, hewn to size and cedar wood. The great court was enclosed with three rows of hewn stones and a row of cedar beams. So were the inner court of the house of the Lord and the vestibule of the temple furnishings. Now King Solomon sent and brought Huram from Tyre, the widow from the tribe of Naphtali. His father was a man of Tyre, a bond worker. He was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill with all kinds of bronze work. He came to Solomon and did all of his work. He cast two pillars of bronze, each one 18 cubits high, and a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of each. That's amazing. That's huge. I'm going to read that again. Two pillars of bronze, each one 18 cubits high. 18 times 3 is 36, 46, 54 feet high. And a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of each. 54 high and 36 feet around.
Wow.
I've read this, but it just is different when you read it out loud. He made a lattice work with wreaths of chain work for the capitals, which were on top of the pillars, 7 chains for the one capital and 7 for the other. He made the pillars and the 2 rows of pomegranates above the network all around to cover the capitals that were on top. And thus he did for the other capital, 19. The capitals, which are on top of the pillars in the hall, were in the shapes of lilies, 4 cubits.
The hall were in the shapes of lilies.
The capitals on the two pillars also had pomegranates above. By the convex surface, which was next to the network, and there were 200 such pomegranates in rows on each of the capitals all around. Then he set up the pillars by the vestibule of the temple, pillar on the right, and called its name Jachin. He set up the pillar on the left and called its name Boaz. The tops of the pillars were in the shape of lilies, so the work of the pillars were finished. He made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. Below its brim were ornamental buds encircling and all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. The ornamental buds were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. Stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick. That's amazing. And its brim was shaped like a brim of a cup, like a lily blossom, contained 2,000 baths. He also made 10 carts of bronze. 4 cubits was the length of each cart, 4 cubits its width, 3 cubits its height. And this was the design of the cart. They had panels, and the panels were between frames. On the panels that were between the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubim. And on the frames was a pedestal on top. Below the lions and oxen were wreaths of plated work. Every cart had 4 bronze wheels and axles of bronze, and its 4 feet had supports. Under the layer were supports of cast bronze beside each wreath. Its opening inside the crown at the top was 1 cubit in diameter, and the opening was round, shaped like a pedestal, 1.5 cubits in outside diameter, and also on the opening were engravings. But the panels were square, not round. Under the panels were 4 wheels, and the axles of the wheels were joined to the cart. The height of a wheel was 1.5 cubits. The workmanships of the wheels were like the workmanship of a chariot wheel. 3 axle pins, 3 rims, 3 spokes, 3 hubs were all of cast bronze. It's like I'm describing Brother Dan's semi. Thus he made the 10 carts. All of them were of the same mold, 1 measure and 1 shape. Then he made the 10 lavers of bronze. Each laver contained 40 baths, and each laver was 4 cubits. On each of the 10 carts was a laver. He put 5 carts on the right side of the house and 5 on the left side of the house. He set the sea on the right side of the house toward the southeast. Hiram made lavers and the shovels and the bowls. Hiram finished doing King Solomon for the house of the Lord. The two bowl-shaped capitals are on top of 2 pillars. The 2 networks covering the bowl-shaped capitals, which are on top of the pillars. 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks. 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the 2 bowl-shaped capitals were on top of the pillars. The 10 carts and the 10 lavers on the cart. 1 sea, 12 oxen under the sea. Pots, the shovels, and the bowls. All these articles which Hiram made for King Solomon for the house of the Lord were of burnished bronze. In the plain of Jordan, the king had them cast in clay molds between Succoth and Zaratan. Solomon did not weigh all the articles because there were so many. The weight of the bronze was not determined. Thus Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of the Lord, the altar of gold, the table of gold on which was the showbread, the lampstands of pure gold, five on the right side, five on the left, in front of the inner sanctuary with the flowers and the lamps and the wick trimmers of gold, the basins, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladles, and the censers of pure gold, and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner room, the most holy place, and for the doors of the hall of the temple. So all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought the things which his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the furnishings. He put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Second Chronicles chapter 4. Now we're going to hear the same thing again right now, because Kings and Chronicles run alongside of each other. But there's always something different in the two references. So see if you can catch it this morning. I hope you're enjoying this, because I'm absolutely enjoying every minute of this. Welcome, welcome. For those of you that are actually live with us this morning, we're glad to have you. Sign in, say hi. We'd be glad to say hi to you and speak your name in prayer. Here we go. Second Chronicles 4. Moreover, he made a bronze altar. 20 cubits was its length, 20 cubits its width, 10 cubits its height. He made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other, 30 feet. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, 50, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference, 30 feet around. Under it was the likeness of oxen encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit all the way around the sea. The oxen were cast in two rows when it was cast. Stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking to the north, 3 looking to the west, 3 looking toward the south, 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set on them, and all their backs pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. Doesn't that just sound beautiful? Like a lily blossom. What is a lily blossom? Is that when it's closed?
That's when it's...
Or is it when it's open?
When it's little, just beginning to develop.
Wow. Contained 3,000 baths. He also made 10 lavers and put 5 on the right side, 5 on the left to wash in. Such things as they offered for the burnt offerings, they would wash in them. The sea was for the priest to wash in. He made 10 lampstands of gold according to their design and set them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. He also made 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left, and he made 100 bowls of gold. My goodness. Furthermore, he made the courts of the priest and the great court and doors for the court. And he overlaid these doors with bronze. He set the sea on the right side toward the southeast. Then Huram made the pots and the shovels and the bowls. So Huram finished doing the work that he was to do for King Solomon for the house of God. Two pillars, the bowl-shaped capitals are on the top of the two pillars. Two networks covering the two bowl-shaped capitals, which are on top of the pillars. 400 pomegranates for two networks. Two rows of pomegranates for each network. To cover the two bowl-shaped capitals that were on the pillars. Pause just a second here. 10 lavers on the carts. One seat and 12 oxen. The pots, the shovels, the forks. All their articles, Huram, his master craftsman, made of burnished bronze for King Solomon for the house of the Lord. And the plain of Jordan, the king had cast them in clay molds between Succoth and Zereda. And Solomon had all these articles made in such great abundance that the weight of the bronze was not determined. Solomon had all the furnishings for the house of God, the altar of gold and the tables on which was the showbread, the lampstands with their lamps of pure gold to burn in the prescribed manner in front of the inner sanctuary, with the flowers and the lamps and the wick trimmers of gold, purest gold, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladles, the censers of pure gold. As for the entry of the sanctuary, its inner doors to the most holy place, And the doors of the main hall of the temple were gold. And that is our reading for today. Now, I always do what I call circle the wagons. It's where we look at what we just read. And I'm just going to say two things because this is our day for communion. Why did God put that in David's heart? And why did the Holy Spirit have the writers write this? It's now the third or fourth time that this is written of what he did. God wants you and I to hear what he told David to build. Now, in our day, there's a lot of people that would say you should never put all of that into a temple. And if you say that, you are rebuking God. You can't say that. You have to ask the question, Holy Spirit, why did Father inspire you in writing? Because Peter says, holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, we've got to let God teach us a lesson here about his ways. But remember, gold in heaven is pavement. The problem is that the spirit of greed wants to get on the church. And that's not just someone chasing a lot of money. That's also people who don't have much and have never learned the process that seed time and harvest is so much better than wages and earnings. And God wants every one of us abundantly blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Study it. And you ask Holy Spirit, why did you build this temple like? Why did the Father tell you to write this? And he's our resident teacher. He lives in here. And he'll show you. And he'll speak to you. Here we go. It's time for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go there with me. The same chapter, Paul talks about hair. And how to wear it, he talks about communion. I'm running out of battery here. I didn't miss it. Now I can turn this light down a little bit. All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Until he comes. Verse 20. Let a man examine himself our processes. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love has been perfected in us. Perfected. In this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, Jesus, right now, the head of the body, so are we. We're just like him. In this earth, perfect love cast out fear and the torment, the trauma that comes with it. And I bind trauma in your life right now, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, religious trauma. There's a lot of people with religious trauma. I bind it in Jesus' mighty name. And I declare you are delivered. You are delivered. I'll put that juice down there where it doesn't tip over. Because even though I enjoy the inundation of the blood of Jesus into me, my computer may not. I'll get it saved one of these days. Now, this is one of the most holy things you can do. And when you don't understand anything else about your life, I encourage you that you receive these communion elements. I've had places in my life where I said, it ain't making sense, Jesus. Nothing's making sense. The blood of Jesus and the body of Christ makes sense. And then we get alone with him, and he does the work. Those of you that are with us, pray the prayer of salvation with us. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. You'll be right with God. You don't have to be in a church to receive communion, but there's nothing wrong with that. Go to your church. Go to your pastor. You don't have to have a pastor to lead you in communion. Jesus said, as often as you do this. You ready? Pray the prayer of salvation with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are.
And you rose again on the third day.
And you rose again on
just
the third
for me.
Day. Just for me.
I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
Just pull it in. All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your love and righteousness.
All of your love and righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part. Of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
so
Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every
I
day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Now, when you just prayed that prayer, no matter who you are or where you are, what you know or what you don't know, you just invited Jesus in. Now, you didn't know how to pray that prayer, but we do. I've been trained by others, and that training goes clear back to Jesus on the Last Supper to the disciples. Now, you just said, Jesus, come in. He did. He's the light of the world. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's redemption. He's righteousness. He's peace. He's joy. He's love. All of that stuff just filled your life. Stuff. All of those principles and concepts of God just filled you. Therefore, on the inside, you're like, wow, what's going on the inside of me? God has just come to you and filled your life. How awesome is that? You might even say, Pastor, I don't even know how that's possible. Well, because all God needs, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. My responsibility is God every day. How do I do it? Wake up in the morning while you're still laying there in the bed. Say, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help me walk with you. And guess what? He does help you because he's now in here. He's not up in heaven trying to come down on your head. He's inside of you here, leading you by the inward witness this way. And your life will never be the same. You found us. We're a powerful ministry team that has much discipleship process that you can grow from. We'll take you from square one all the way to the pearly gates, and we'll and take many people with you, your own family. Your friends, those you work with, in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements together. Now, pull them up. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Hold up, pause. I just heard somebody say, Pastor, you mean that's I can receive communion? Yeah. This is the body of Christ. You're a member now. Just get you some bread and water and receive it with us. Yeah, those of you in the future, hit pause. Go get some. Do this. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you,
for
Lord.
This time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
My iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is on you, Lord.
Is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my
nothing
emotion.
Nothing in my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ and my community.
In the body of Christ and my community.
And right here in this community.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful love and your mercy and your grace. We receive it today in your mighty name. And now we lift up a cup of blessing. I like my cup. Though your sins were red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my
Father. With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
All things have become
and
new.
And I thank you for it.
I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment.
For my assignment.
On this earth every day.
On this earth every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of
Jesus. By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague must pass over.
Must pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. The Bible says that they went out. As they went, they sang a hymn, I suppose. He sang a hymn. So, but my battery went down real fast today, so I better not do that. I better do this. Thank you for being with us. You just took part in one of the most holy things there is. It's appropriate in every level of your life. In the holy ceremony at church, led by your pastor, the bishop, the cardinal, whatever you have in your denomination. But it's also holy for you as a dad to lead your family. If you're a single mom, lead your family into this. is holy. One of my forefathers in the Dr. Hicks wouldn't even get out of bed in the morning until he'd first received the broken body and the blood of Jesus. Put it on the nightstand before he went to sleep at night. I've done it in groups of bikers and restaurants and bars. I took communion in a bar. We took communion in a bar one time. A whole bunch of bikers. New Year's Day, or the second, I guess. It's one of the most holy things you can do. You can go to my website and go SamuelJ.com/communion. And you can read this right there and receive it in your home. And I encourage you to do it every day. Lead your family in it. Train your children what it means. God will help you. I'll help you, but God will help you. And that Holy Spirit of God that you just said, fill me, he'll lead you and guide you in this, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. It's a beautiful Sunday here in North Dakota. You can't say there's no clouds in the skies today because there's a few fluffy ones. I pray God's blessing on you and your life. Wherever you may go and whatever's going on, may God's hand of blessing be with you and be yours in all you do. And may you lead many people to the kingdom. Tell them to come on by. We have one of the greatest discipleship processes that happens every night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Blog Talk Radio. No restrictions, no requirements. We just want you to be there and to learn faith with us in Jesus' mighty name. And so, until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this, that we love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Send me an email. We'll see you soon. In Jesus' mighty name. To be on Blog Talk Radio around the world, wherever you may be, remember this. I really want to help you translate what we have here into your language, and I know how. Shoot me an email and say, hey, Pastor, I'm one of them from around the world. If you send me an email and I don't get it, make sure you send it again so that you get it and that we can help you, because we want to help your nation receive the word of faith, and we'll be a blessing to you. Sure do love you. See you again real soon in Jesus' mighty name.